This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Right now is one of the most important times in the 26-year history of Joy. Times are tough financially, but that will never stop us delivering powerful, meaningful, and uplifting radio for you. To get ready for the future, we're launching Joy Nation, and we need your support to do it. So help Joy by asking your workmates, your next door neighbour, your mum, your dad, your siblings, and of course your friends. Go to joy.org.au and make a donation to build Joy Nation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture. Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12 on Joy 94.9.
You are on Saturday Magazine Joy 94.9 with Macca in Melbourne. Tass is up in Galesford. Our next guest, Tass, is Aslan. Would you like to introduce him?
I would love to introduce Aslan. Aslan is the coordinator of the Queer Refugee Program operated by CoHealth, and the program is called the Elevate Program. Good morning to you, Aslan.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Tell us about the program.
Yeah, so I'm one of the peer support workers at the Elevate program at CoHealth, which is a peer support program for LGBTQ people living in the northwestern Melbourne. And the things that we do is actually provide some risk navigation, well-being coaching, and also supporting LGBT groups. So one of those groups is actually the Queer Refuge Group, which is a mental health support group for LGBT refugees and asylum seekers. So we're actually supporting this group, which has been running since March. And so CoHealth has been supporting this group with resources, with staff like myself, and also a counselor from the refugee mental health team at CoHealth.
Tell us about the Queer Refugee Group. How large is that? And tell us a bit more about it.
It's actually Queer Refuge.
Queer Refuge Group.
Yeah. So it's actually... So this group came about from the conversations and discussions that queer and trans refugees and asylum seekers over the past few years, you know, there's been a lot of social groups, social events, but it was kind of clear there were gaps in the services for LGBT refugees and asylum seekers. Like, a lot of them still didn't know their rights, didn't know how to get free medical service. And especially they want to talk about mental health issues, but they haven't had any space to talk about it. So that's how this group came about. People who are organizing it is called from the Bridge Meals Group, which organizes monthly free monthly dinners for LGBT migrants, asylum and refugees. So we've just started in March. We got funding from the Northwestern Melbourne Primary Health Network, and we've been slowly building up the people who from the community to attend the group. So we've got about at the moment, 10 members attending. And we actually have fortnightly on Mondays, we have group therapy like sessions. And then on fortnightly Saturdays, we've been having seminars and workshops. And it is from the seminars and workshops where we've been giving people education about the support services that are available for people who are LGBT and seeking asylum.
Aslan, without actually breaching any confidences or identifying anybody, tell us about some of the experiences that some of these members have.
Well, we were going to have one of my clients attending, but unfortunately, because of lockdown, we haven't been able to have two people going to the studio yet. I do want to mention that we do have a client who has been assessing the Elevate program. So one of the issues that they faced was difficulty finding a culturally safe and culturally competent counselor. And through the Elevate program, which is my work, I tried looking for a counselor for him. And I was able to find somebody who understood his background, the issues that he faced, coming from a South Asian background. I continued to keep supporting him. And eventually, when Queer Refuge was set up, this client has also been assessing the, has been participating in the group as well. And they actually attribute attending the group group sessions as a good experience for him to know that other people from his background are going through the same things, and is actually giving him more confidence to kind of push himself out of his comfort zone and to get more involved in community work and supporting other LGBT refugees and asylum seekers.
Because I think, you know, for all of us in our community, it's, you know, we each have different degrees of difficulty in navigating life. And mm-hmm. I can't imagine, to be honest, what it would be like to, you know, go from being perhaps an international student to then wanting, you know, to then being a refugee and being LGBTQI plus, and the challenges that that creates within that person's family and their culture, and being separated, you know, from their support networks, and in some cases where those support networks, being their family, are not supportive.
Yeah.
And, you know, the system, you know, the refugee system is not supportive.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is something that perhaps most of us don't think about. You know, the bubble that we live in, we can all deal with it in with varying degrees of success and sometimes not. But being in a refugee bubble and having to deal with the separation, the physical separation, the emotional separation, you know, the mental health challenges, the discrimination, the system not working for you, the support
yeah.
service is not really recognising it.
Yeah.
It's I mean, we use that term, a perfect storm. It's not a perfect storm. It'd be extremely challenging, isn't it, Aslan?
Yeah, I mean, that's those are the kind of stories that come out from our discussion, from the group sessions, obviously. I mean, when we're talking about family, I mean, it's something that a lot of, like, you know, Australians may understand, like, LGBT would also experience, you know, some of the issues that they face is actually from their family themselves, you know, homophobia, transphobia, and including the community. But when you're an asylum seeker, obviously, you know, you're living in a foreign country. There may be values and culture that you're not completely aware of or understand. But one of the key key problems is that because of the limitations on your visa status, meaning that you don't have access to Centrelink, you don't have access to Medicare. So for a lot of folks, before attending the Queer Refuge support group, you know, they would have difficulty accessing any kind of mental health support, you know? Something as basic as Medicare, like, you know, they would actually be afraid to go to the clinic because they wouldn't have the money to pay up front.
Yeah.
Yeah, things like this that people are not aware of. And sometimes, you know, conversations with other LGBT folks, when they don't understand that, you know, they don't seem to understand the challenges that LGBT refugees and asylum seekers, is because they take it for granted. Like, they can actually have, you know, they can go to a clinic. I don't have to worry about paying up front. They can get a mental health plan easily as well. And if you take this for granted, you don't seem to think that other people are actually having trouble accessing them. Which is one experience of a lot of our members.
Aslan, we've had a message here from one of our listeners who says, it sounds like you're doing a great thing, and one can only imagine how alone these people must feel. And that prompts me to ask you, what can we do? What can we do as just ordinary folk if we encounter any people who are queer and are refugees? What can we do? What's the best thing? What's the advice that you can give us in helping us to interact with them?
One of the things that we've always been talking about recently is also, I mean, you know, I think it helps for everybody to develop empathy, obviously, and to kind of, you know, when you're talking to someone, no matter who they are, it's like, you know, to kind of understand where they're coming from and to, I mean, put yourself in their shoes and to talk to them as a friend. You know, don't presuppose anything, and just to make sure that you understand where they're coming from and what their journey has been like. Some of the things that we've been discussing within our group as well, and also in the wider LGBT refugee community, is also talking about ethical engagement, because we do also have problems where, well, we have people who might have good intentions, but then kind of assume the best for us and organize stuff for us without consulting with us. So that's also been one of the issues. I guess my first message also is like try to find out what we want and how we want it, and to work alongside us, not, you know, assuming for us.
A listener has said, you know, to consider, you know, where as a community we've learned from this in other ways, and look at post-war migration and folk who came here from other countries after the Second World War and their difficulties in being accepted and integrating and having particular challenges, you know, biggest one, of course, being language, but the challenges that they faced as a community, as a nation, we've dealt with that reasonably well. It's never been perfect. But this is a similar thing. And then when you add in sexuality into that mix, it becomes even more challenging, doesn't it, Tess?
Well, I was going to say, Macca, the other ingredient, of course, in all of this is culture.
Yeah.
so just because somebody comes from a different speaking background doesn't mean that their culture is aligned with the culture of this country.
Oh, of course, yes.
And I think all of that just makes for a much more volatile experience, and sometimes a very difficult and lonely experience for people who, added to that, also have sexuality to deal with as well. Mm. And, of course, the lovely 317, another one of our listeners, Aslan, has come back and said to us in a comment this morning, just imagine what the first generation,
yes,
Italian and Greek migrants had here in the 50s and 60s, and some of the challenges that they would have anticipated. I can't imagine what that's like, because it wasn't part of my personal experience.
Yeah, but it was of your parents, you know.
Of course, of course.
Look, unfortunately, Asim, we've run out of time. Look, I think the work you're doing is really incredible and very important. If people want to be able to support or encourage, is there a website or contact details where people can?
The Bridge Meals that's running the Queer Refuge, we don't have a website, because I think one of the reasons we wanted to make sure that, you know, we kind of had to, for people's privacy and safety, we had to kind of limit it.
Yes.
But you can contact one of the coordinators. We do have a number that people can contact. So do I give the number?
Please do.
Yeah, please do.
Yeah. So it's 0460.
Yep.
708-098.
098. Look, thank you so very much, Aslan. We really appreciate it. I think it's great work. Full credit to you and the people that are doing this. I think
just repeat the number, Macca.
Okay. 0460-708-098. And that is if you'd like to reach out and perhaps help this program, or, you know, give them your support.
And also, can I also add that people from LGBT, you know, I mean, one of the biggest supporters has been CoHealth as well through the
yes.
Elevate program. So people should also contact Elevate, and Elevate is on the web, is on online. So just look up CoHealth Elevate if you want to assess support for LGBT folks living in North Western Melbourne.
Great.
Thank you very much, Aslan. That was really lovely. Yeah, lovely. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Saturday Magazine, every Saturday from 10 until noon on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.